If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are talking about the jurisprudential laws of prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question at the beginning of this episode. It happens oftentimes, sometimes, in fact, to some people that they forget a part of the prayer that they performed or offered.
Yeah.
And one of them, which is very important, is the act of ruku, right? Or genuflection, sure. Bending down. And if a person doesn't remember, all right, or he or she is not confident whether he or she has offered the genuflection part of the prayer before sajda.
Yeah.
What does he or she have to do? Does she or he have to consider the prayer to be valid?
Well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ruku is one of the basic elements of prayer, which means that if you leave it out or add one more ruku to the prayer,
yes,
intentionally, forgetfully, or by mistake, your prayer becomes void. This is the position with every rukun or every basic element, which if left out or added to the prayer intentionally or forgetfully or by mistake, the prayer is affected, definitely. Now, when it comes to the forgotten ruku, if a person happens to forget to perform ruku,
yes,
and he remembers it before the sajda, before performing the sajda, of course, he should stand up first and then go into ruku. He should stand and do the ruku because he has not gone into the next rukun, which is sajda, okay? So he has to repeat, he has to do ruku, but it is important to note that he has to stand up completely. And it will not be proper for him to go into ruku in a bent position now, because when he stands up, he is in a bent position. Now, without standing up, if he considers it as a ruku, it's not accepted. Because we know very well that it is obligatory to be in a standing posture before going into ruku. And that standing posture is also another basic element which must not be left out or ignored. And according to all religious authorities, it is necessary to stand up completely and then do the ruku before the sajda.
What about after the ruku? Is there standing up a necessary element?
No,
again?
That's not a basic element.
Just,
or necessary
the
element.
One before the genuflection.
Yes, sure.
All right. Sheikh Javid, we know that a person who's praying should stand, as you said, right?
Yeah.
And it is the normal posture which is expected and, obliged, in fact. Now, if you cannot stand, right?
Yeah.
But you can perform a part of the prayers standing.
Yeah.
Can you stand from the beginning? Can you offer your prayers sitting?
Well, as long as a person can stand, he cannot sit down and offer his prayer in a lying posture. For example, he cannot sit on a bed or on a chair and continue with his prayers because he can stand. As long as he can perform a part of his prayers standing, then he cannot sit down. And of course, we have degrees and different positions. If you cannot stand, you should sit down. If you can sit down, you cannot, of course, lie down on your back and or maybe on your side to offer your prayers. So if a person cannot sit straight, he should sit in a manner he can, in any manner it is possible for him to sit. And if he cannot sit at all, because there are some people who have, disc herniation, broken bones, and a lot of problems, fractures, and so many problems, so they cannot sit up, they cannot sit at all. And these people should lie down on their right side. They should stretch themselves on their right side.
Yes.
And of course, if they cannot lie on that side, they should lie on the other side, on the left side. And of course, His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei has said that as an obligatory precaution, such a person should not lie on the left side as long as it is possible for him to lie on the right side,
mm-hmm.
because the right side is preferred. It mm-hmm. is, it comes first.
Yes.
If it is not possible under any circumstances to lie on the right side, then of course he can lie on the right side offering his prayer.
And says doesn't that, it depend on whether a person is right-handed or left-handed?
No,
or
it doesn't. It doesn't matter because the right hand is always preferred. And in addition to the riwayat that we do have in our religious sources, and as I said that according to all the religious authorities, when it's not possible to lie on either side, the left side or the right side, then one should lie on his back. With his feet mm-hmm. facing the Qibla, you know, mm-hmm. that's the last position, okay? Because you are at ease when you are,
yes.
when you lie on your back.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Sheikh Tawhid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Stay with us.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jad, hosting, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker at the studio. And the topic we were dealing with here in this episode of the Islamic Laws was the rules and jurisprudential status of the prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, if one doubts whether or not he or she has recited the Takbiratul Ihram, all right?
Yeah.
What is the status of his or her prayer? What should he or she do?
Well, obviously we know Takbiratul Ihram is one of the arkan of prayers. And without Takbiratul Ihram, the prayer is null and void. And, but in the event that one suspects or doubts whether he has performed Takbiratul Ihram or not, the religious authorities have stated clearly that in the case of doubt, when he has not moved into another, for example, rukun, he can repeat Takbiratul Ihram. But because he doubts whether he has performed Takbiratul Ihram or not, so he has to repeat Takbiratul Ihram. But obviously, if he has started, for example, let's say qiraat, which is also not a rukun, mm-hmm. but it is one of the wajibat of the prayers.
Yes,
I should say that even if it is a wajib part of the prayer, it's not a rukun or a basic element of the prayer. But it is qiraat, for example, and he has started qiraat, reciting alhamdulillah or in Surah Tawheed, in Surah Ikhlas. So he should ignore his doubt,
yes,
because he is not certain. But if he has not recited anything, he should, of course, pronounce the takbir. He should do the takbir. That is the point. I hope I'm clear. Because in the event that he has started reciting qira'ah, okay, or even moved to another rukun, which is like ruku, then he should ignore his doubt mm-hmm. about Takbiratul Ihram.
I see.
But if he has not started qira'ah, which is one of the wajib parts of the prayer,
yes,
then he should pronounce Takbiratul Ihram and to make sure that he has done it
and
he has not left it out.
So the principle you base here, in fact, is to move to another principle or pillar, an arkan of the prayer.
Not necessarily arkan, but to another obligatory part. For example, qira'at,
yes,
reciting hamd and surah,
yes,
is an obligatory part
exactly.
of the prayer. But it's not a basic mm-hmm. element.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, and thank you, dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, the host of this program, and the rest of the crew. We say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
سميع بصير.